Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now, ladies and gentlemen. This is the broadcast for October the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is Hour 2 of 2. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Wow, hour one was a hard-hitting hour, I'll tell you what. Talking about the economy, talking about In-N-Out Burger. We got to continue talking about the economy going forward, ladies and gentlemen. What about them taxes? Pete Sepp, president of National Taxpayers Union. He's been a dear friend for literally 25-plus years, doing a great job. The NTU, National Taxpayers Union, is the voice of the American taxpayer, mobilizing elected officials and citizens on behalf of tax relief and reform. Boy, howdy, do we need that, ladies and gentlemen. NTU.org is the website, National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. Pete Sepp, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Great to be here, Sam, and it sure is them taxes this morning.
Wow, the Democrats are on a bender. I mean, they're like drunk, just won't quit, aren't they?
Well, yes, but unfortunately, you have to sober up even after a bender, and that's what Democrats are doing right now. In fact, we keep hearing rumblings, but now those rumblings are coming to the forefront. Democrats in the House, for example, had serious reservations about this bank reporting requirement that tens of millions of Americans would have to face in regards to their bank accounts.
All right, so let's back up a little bit, Pete Sepp, and explain that to people, because a lot of people may not be familiar with what that really means or entails, right?
Yes, and of course, Treasury and a number of Democrats in the United States Senate, starting with the chairman of the Finance Committee, Ron Wyden, said nothing to fear from this position of power.
Right.
Start fearing.
So what does this mean, Pete Sepp, when we talk about this financial deal? It means that government wants to literally, if you deal with any financial transactions that relate to more than $600, they want to monitor every one of them, right?
Yes, what they claim to want is to monitor inflows and outflows of bank accounts in not only at the $600 level, that's since been abandoned, at least we think it has, the situation's awfully fluid, but the $10,000 threshold is the one that they're talking about now, and they want to put guardrails on it, saying that, well, we're not going to count your paychecks in the inflow and outflow of $10,000 that would trigger the monitoring requirement. And no worries, we're not going to look at specific transactions. But then you start looking at the final proposal. It's not just inflows and outflows in your bank account. It's whether you have cash transactions. It's whether you have foreign transactions. It's whether you have a bank account that's being transferred to another account that you own. And on and on. The fact is, even with these guardrails, these limitations, we're basically talking about something like 75%, even 90% of Americans still having transactions reported to the IRS. Fortunately, the pushback has been tremendous. In fact, 20 House Democrats have said, we have grave concerns over this. Our offices are being bombarded by constituents who are very concerned and very fed up. This is grassroots in its essence, Sam. People are speaking out, and they are demanding accountability from their public officials. Anyone listening right now who thinks, oh, it doesn't do me any good to send an email or make a call, I can tell you it is having an impact right here, right now. We are on the verge of permanently beating back this new reporting scheme and protecting Americans' financial privacy from the IRS, which is already pretty badly eroded.
And let me be very clear about what we're talking about. The $600 or the $10,000 or that we're going to pull your paycheck out of that and not use that. It doesn't matter what latest incarnation of this they come up with. We're pushing to say, no, we're not going to have that monitoring at all. That's our position, right, Pete?
That's exactly right. And after all, the IRS already has a bunch of tools at its disposal to snoop in Americans' financial records anyway. Let's not forget the fact that the so-called 1099 reporting system already subjects billions of transactions in stocks and bonds and mutual funds to IRS scrutiny. Some folks don't even know their own bank accounts or investment accounts returns before the IRS does. And we want to actually pile another reporting requirement on top of all of this, on top of foreign bank account reporting rules, on top of what's called FATCA, another Foreign Account Tax Compliance Act measure. We don't need this kind of IRS access to information, especially given the agency's inability to handle the information it's got. When we talk about privacy violations, we tend to think of, your cable or phone company or one of your internet service providers. The federal government is uniquely unqualified to manage private data. It's proven to be the fact. The IRS had a data breach of over 100,000 records barely 5 years ago, and we want to entrust the agency with tens of millions of more pieces of information?
Aren't these the guys that are $30 trillion in debt, too?
Yes. Financial mismanagement on top of information mismanagement.
So, Pete Sepp, one of the ways to really create, in my opinion, accountability is with transparency. When we shine the light, then, you know what, they start to take notice and their behavior is different. Why don't we start naming names? Who's leading this effort to pry into our personal bank accounts and our financial transactions to this degree?
Well, it starts with Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and her team, which basically developed this proposal. I wouldn't call it a fairly detailed one, because whenever we ask for those details, we're told, they're coming. Here's the framework.
After we pass it, you'll find out what's in it, Pete.
Yes, exactly.
Idea, right?
And as that's right. And as we all know, most of the dirtiest deeds of the tax collection agency happen not when the legislation passes, but when the rules get made to implement the legislation. And that's what we fear the most here. Treasury has a framework for this proposal. There are members of Congress, most recently Senator Ron Wyden, Democrat from Oregon, and the chair of the Senate Finance Committee, saying, well, there's a lot of myths out there about what this proposal would do. We're really just going after a few rich people. Nobody who's following the law has anything to fear. We just put out a myth busting the myth piece for our website, sort of taking Chairman Wyden to task for claiming that a lot of falsehoods are being spread about this proposal, when saying, look, there are falsehoods of their own on the part of supporters that are being spread right now. And people can read that on our website at ntu.org. It's a great piece by one of my colleagues, Damian Brady.
Where do we go with this? What can I do, or the average American do, to move the needle on this? One is to call your congressmen and senators and say, hey, don't let this happen. But is there more we can do? Part of the problem is that whenever we start to push back on something, they literally call us terrorists, or they refuse to meet with us at a town hall meeting. Or, I mean, it's just, it's getting crazy, Pete.
Well, yes. And I think one important thing to do is to make sure that members of the business community, who many members of Congress often listen to or meet with outside of these town hall meetings, get them involved in this fight. If you bank at your local branch and you happen to be in there this morning or the next day, ask to speak to a manager and say, hey, are you aware of this bank reporting proposal that the IRS is trying to push on community banks, big banks, small banks? you've got a real mess on your hands if you're going to have to comply with these reporting requirements. Why don't you contact your member of Congress and make sure you, as a small business person, a community banker, are very concerned, and Congress needs to lay off.
Pete Sepp, I think you've hit the nail right on the head with this proposal or solution that, you know what? What we need to do is really push on business leaders because they really make a difference and they meet with a lot of these people. Let me give you an example from In-N-Out Burger, who are not willing to cater to the vaccine mandates. And here's what Chief Legal and Business Officer Arnie Wensinger, he had this to say. Listen carefully. We refuse to become the vaccination police. For any government, it is unreasonable, invasive, and unsafe to force our restaurant associates to segregate customers into those who may be served and those who may not be served. We fiercely disagree with any government dictate that forces a private company to discriminate against our customers who choose to patronize our businesses. Now, I don't want to get into the vaccine thing, but then here's what he said. And I want to really discuss this. I want Pete Sepp to respond after the break to this. Here's what he then said. One of the biggest reasons that woke culture has gotten such a stranglehold on American life is that people at the top of major institutions have been weak and skittish in response to the threats of the mob. We'll talk about that because I think it directly relates to your taxes and how we can stop them. Quick pause. Pete Sepp in seconds.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Pete Sepp on your radio. So this leader of In-N-Out Burger, he's kind of like the financial guy or whatever, Pete Sepp. He basically said, hey, you know what? The reason we have this big problem we have is because the people, the top people at a lot of these organizations are simply not willing to stand up against the mob. And whether that be out of control taxes pushed down our throats, monitoring our personal bank accounts pushed down our throats, we really need business leaders backed by the people. We need local officials backed by the people to stand up and say, no, we're simply not doing that. Pete?
Yeah, we absolutely do. And I can tell you, you could almost switch out the words of that statement from In-N-Out Burger's COO and insert the words banks or financial information for vaccination, those other words, and you'd pretty much get the position of many community bankers in America today. they are putting out public statements saying, not only do we have grave concerns about how in the world we're going to comply with this new reporting mandate, we're just not going to do it. We're going to protect our depositors because we feel this is an unjust imposition, not only on our business, but on the people we serve in our business. And
all right, ladies and gentlemen, get a hold of everyone you know. Push back politely. Be very, very kind, but very insistent. We don't want this in America. It violates the Fourth and Fifth Amendments to the U.S. Constitution. It violates all common American decencies, and we're not going to let government agencies that seem to have nobody able to rein them in, even when a congressman or a senator, your elected officials, duly authorized, try to rein them in. All they do is attack that individual. So, look, these unaccountable, lack of transparent organizations that create regulations that abuse you, we've got to push back and stop it. Get a hold of your congressman and your senators now, Pete.
Yeah, absolutely. And we keep getting told that we're exaggerating, we're being too fearful of this government proposal. I can tell you, after 33 years of doing this, my first year of the job, when I fielded dozens of calls from taxpayers who'd either made honest mistakes on their returns or made no mistakes at all, saying, help me, I cannot get through to the IRS and convince them that I've done nothing wrong, and yet they're fining me thousands of dollars in penalties on a couple hundred dollars of tax that they feel is due. When the IRS gets more power, more access to information, more money, more personnel, claiming that you're not going to be targeted, you're safe, you don't have to worry about it, it's just those rich people trading in exotic securities, don't believe them. History shows that when they are given those kinds of expanded powers, money and personnel, inevitably any tactic they use against a small portion of the tax filing population eventually gets turned upon us all. That's why Congress has had so many hearings in the past, why they've had to enact five separate bills trying to rein in the IRS over the past 35 years.
All right, Pete, one thing is the spying on our bank accounts, but now the next thing is that the Democrats are in a hurry to rewrite the U.S. tax code. Literally, they say, attacking billionaires. The bottom line, though, is trickle-down economics is real. If you abuse these more wealthy folks, you're going to really, at the end, hurt the small guy, too. They don't recognize this, but it's reality. Are they going to get away with rewriting the tax code?
I wonder, the more we see these proposals being thrown out there as trial balloons or whatever you want to call them, the more often we see them getting shot down. Take a look at the evolution of the Democrats' plans to increase taxes over the past month. They started out with massive increases in the corporate tax. A new billionaire's tax was the latest thing yesterday. That had a lifespan of less than 20 hours, I believe, between it being proposed as a framework and being declared officially off the table. The fact is that they're trying to throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. Nothing major is sticking so far. That's a testament to taxpayers speaking out on their elected officials, especially on the Democratic side, and saying, you don't really know the kind of damage you're going to do to a very fragile economy right now, so why don't you do nothing? Or, better yet, do something to bring federal spending back under control. You want to restore investor confidence and bring a more stable economy to the forefront? That's what you ought to be working on, not raising people's taxes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Democrats rush to rewrite U.S. tax code, but they're being forced to abandon things faster than they can even get things off the ground. Here's the latest headline as well, Pete Sapp. Democrats drop paid leave from $1.75 trillion proposal. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. But look, they were talking in the beginning of a $3.5 trillion. Now they're at a $1.5 trillion, and they're still dropping stuff, right? So we're winning.
That's
we need
right.
to realize that.
That's right. We are winning. We could still lose, but if we keep up the pressure, we will keep winning. It's as simple as that. This is democracy. Well, we're a republic, Sam, not a democracy. This is our republic in action. This is
Amen, sir.
Taking their future in their hands and saying, we're not going to allow members of Congress to dictate a future in which our children won't be able to prosper.
I have a feeling that the environment has become too hostile, too political, too divisive for them to rewrite the tax code. I think they're being forced to drop more and more and more. We heard that they aren't even able to get really anything passed because they've got their own Democrats against them going, wait a minute, we're the blue dog Democrats or whatever. We're not gonna allow this out of control spending. We know we've got the big massive spending increase still coming up that they haven't finalized. I think they're going to be on hold this whole term.
Yeah, I think so too. They're finding that it is much more difficult to put a proposal into practice than to keep talking about a proposal. They came into power on a very, very thin margin, and they're starting to understand that the radical agenda that they were proposing is not so popular as they believe it to be once the details come out. I always have faith in American taxpayers. Many people don't. They say, oh, people have become used to so-called free things from government, and as long as we keep delivering that, they'll want to export the tax burden on anybody as long as it's not them. They're too dumb to figure it out. I don't believe that for one minute. You give the details of a plan to the American people, they are sophisticated enough to understand that the whole country will suffer when even a small group of us gets singled out for this kind of punitive tax treatment and all the borrowing that's going on.
Well, and when Joe Biden was asked about this, he doubled down center stage and said it won't cost anything, right? He just flat out lied.
Yeah, right. He did. And not even the mainstream media could believe this kind of claim when Biden or his press secretary said from her dais, this won't cost anything, or it's all paid for. Yeah, well, when you use funny accounting, when you think massive revenue estimates will somehow come true when you raise tax rates on productive people, when you try to get government scorekeeping agencies to cover for you, but they won't, you soon get a rude awakening.
Well, even the extreme left had to balk at that one because they knew that it was just such an in-your-face lie that nobody could accept it, not even them. And they know that their credibility is on the line to some degree. When it's minutia, they'll double down because it's very fuzzy. But when it's that blatant
right.
in your face, a lie, they can't even go, that's a bridge too far, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. And this is one of these great moments in the history of your show and the history of our movement for limited government where people discover that the power has always been in their hands. As long as they utilize it effectively, they can actually win positive change.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's about being involved. It's about polite insistence of our message and our goals. It's about working together, humbly saying, I can't do it myself, but man, together we can move mountains. It's about working
yes.
with people like Pete Sepp at the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org, who are willing to partner with us all the way from the local level, all the way up to the federal level and beyond. We can do this, ladies and gentlemen. There are examples that never get told in the media by the thousands about Americans
yeah.
and people around the world fighting these taxes and succeeding, Pete.
Yes, they do. And we see this at the local level all the time. Citizens who are saying, we want to scrutinize our budget, and we're going to do something about it. Happens all the time. They can find out more at NTU.org.
Pete, I know you're going to fly early today. Thank you so much for your time, brother. Godspeed. We'll talk to you soon.
Godspeed, sir. Take care.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Pete Sepp, president of National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Taiwan's President Tsai Ing-wen reported Thursday that a small number of American troops are on the island for training purposes. When asked how many U.S. military personnel were on the island, Tsai responded by saying, "Not as many as people thought." This is the first time the presence of U.S. troops on the self-governing island was announced since the last U.S. garrison left in 1979. Reuters is reporting the president of the New York City's firefighter union told reporters Wednesday that he's advised unvaccinated members to ignore Mayor Bill de Blasio's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for city workers. Under de Blasio's order that's due to take effect Friday, unvaccinated city employees would be placed on unpaid leave. The Justice Department announced the arrest of 150 people in an international opioid probe. The DOJ said they seized over $30 million in cash and virtual currency after the 10-month-long international operation called Dark Hunter. USA Radio News.
Hear that? That's the sound of a man guarding his home around the clock. Because he has 24/7 professional monitoring from SimpliSafe Home Security. With 24/7 professional monitoring, SimpliSafe keeps watch night and day. If there's trouble, SimpliSafe alerts him and will dispatch emergency help when needed. Get free shipping with the order of a new system at SimpliSafe.com today.
There's a lot of confusion about how to protect yourself from COVID, with guidelines and regulations changing by the week. One thing is certain. You need an accurate thermometer for your family to check for fever, the leading sign of flu and COVID. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Don't rely on non-contact thermometers. They have no scientific studies behind them and can miss the fever that might mean COVID. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
The Department of Justice was under a microscope on Capitol Hill Wednesday. Tim Berg reports.
Attorney General Merrick Garland testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee on Wednesday on oversight of the Department of Justice. Garland has suggested that parent protests at schools could potentially be threats to school officials, calling the FBI and DOJ to investigate these incidents. North Carolina Republican Senator and Senate Judiciary Committee member Tom Tillis reacts to the testimony and believes some of his questions weren't answered.
The point that I tried to make is the chilling effect this is going to have on other parents who should feel comfortable going to school board meetings and rejecting some of these policies like we've seen in Loudoun County and across the country. There's no question in my mind that people are going to think twice when they think they have the watchful eye of the FBI overlooking everything that they say.
That audio courtesy of Fox News.
We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio news. The network's refuse to use continues as we advocate against revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Did you listen to the bottom of the USA news, the bottom of the hour news, ladies and gentlemen? Wow. They're talking about the very issue that's going to be front and center tonight at a Utah event. And we've got Gail Rozicka of the Utah Eagle Forum to break it down just for us. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, Gail.
Well, happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Sam.
We're talking about the Eagle Forum, ladies and gentlemen, well known in conservative circles for a long time, doing a stellar job for decades. Phyllis Schlafly used to be a good friend and guest of ours frequently on the broadcast, and we used to carry her radio show as well. I'm just grateful she's helping from the other side of the veil. That's all I can say. We're talking about critical race theory, just like they were doing at the bottom of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. They want to call us terrorists, ladies and gentlemen. But we need to work together, ladies and gentlemen, to stop critical race theory in schools across the country. Specifically, there's an event tonight in Utah that's going to be working on this very issue. They're calling us terrorists. Have they ever gone that far, Gail, before, ever? They're desperate.
Well, you know, you're right. That's exactly. They're calling parents terrorists. We've all been used to, though, having our organization be put on terrorist lists. But now they're calling the parents who go to the school board terrorists.
They've gone too far now. Don't you think that the overreach is to where even average Americans who may not even normally agree with us or understand or be concerned about the issues, now they've crossed the Rubicon to where I think everybody's going, wait a minute, hold on, right?
I think you're right. Whenever they do this, we've seen it happen with a lot of issues, and so now that they're classifying the parents as terrorists, but it goes way beyond that, because when people look at critical race theory and what it's really about, it's astounding. They just like, what? You know, it's a thing where they're minorities and children that are of color suddenly are victims. And if you have white skin, you're the oppressor. And they're teaching this to little children in the school. And it goes way beyond that. In fact, I just talking to legislators just this week who said, oh, I've called our district and they've assured us that they don't teach critical race theory there. And so they were trying to say several districts aren't teaching it. It's not true, because they don't all call it critical race theory. They're doing it under what they call equity. And every school district has an equity policy, including the state school board has an equity policy. And that's where you find critical race theory and everything that goes with it.
Critical race theory, ladies and gentlemen, in its totality is this. White people are racists, and there's nothing they can do to prevent that reality check. In fact, they're so racist they don't even recognize their racism. Anybody else who's not white is not a racist, can't be by inherent nature that they're the victims. And every single interaction between humans must be viewed through a racial lens of that nature. White, racist, not white, can never be a racist. And all interactions must be viewed through that lens. That's its extremism, kind of like communism in its totality. But there are versions of critical race theory that are kind of like socialism, the soft way to communism. And what they purport to do is soften that, quote, finalization of their agenda by saying, listen, you just need to be, understanding that you're white and you're privileged, but it's okay, you can do something about it. But in the end, though, they bait and switch. In the end, so all roads lead to critical race theory if you go down these roads educationally, right, Gail?
That's right. In fact, it actually evolves from the Marxist ideology that separates people into two groups. And in this case, the two groups are the whites, which are the oppressors, and the oppressed are the people of color. But it teaches the little children in the school that if they are white, it's teaching the children, if you are white, you are inherently racist by the virtue of your skin color. And then it teaches the little black children that they are not capable as children of other races. How appalling. Critical race theory and all that goes with us is the most racist thing out there. And that's why it's so important that people come tonight and hear our amazing speakers that we have speaking tonight, because this is such a great opportunity. It is free, and it's at the beautiful barn there at Thanksgiving Point. Got a wonderful venue and lots of parking, easy to access, and it's free. You know, we've asked people to register to get a ticket, but nobody's going to be turned away tonight if they show up and if they want to go on and get a ticket and they're assured one. It's just on Eventbrite, but nobody's going to be turned away, because this is a free event. And you know what the exciting part of this is we have several speakers, including legislators and parents and teachers, but we have three main speakers.
Before you get to the main speakers, where do people go to get their tickets?
Well, it's Eventbrite, and it's kind of long, but it's go to www and then just eventbrite.com, and that's where you get tickets. But you need to put /on there, Utah-Forum-on-Critical-Race-Theory. -tickets. Now that's fine, but it's just a dash between Utah Forum on Critical Race Theory. So go to Eventbrite, go to Utah Forum on Critical Race Theory, and just put a dash between each word, and that's it'll come up and it says register, and you can register and get your tickets. So
all right, we've got fantastic speakers that'll be at the event as well, literally coming into Utah to help paint this reality and what we can do, right?
Yeah, and that's what's so amazing. Now, I was just in Washington, D.C. last night, last week. And I heard
so
some of
sorry.
These speakers. I was there with C.L. Bryant. Now, FreedomWorks is bringing in C.L. Bryant. He is so amazing. And Sam has mentioned that he's had C.L. on his show because you all know C.L. He has a show on this same network. But C.L. Bryant is so much fun to see him, watch him. He's so entertaining that you, when he's through speaking, you're disappointed. And he'll have you on your feet and have you be proud and happy to be an American. And so he's coming. And then from Heritage Foundation, we have Mike Gonzalez coming, and along with Jonathan Butcher. Now, these three men are national speakers on critical race theory. They know what they're talking about. Two coming from Heritage Foundation, one coming from FreedomWorks. Now, I go to conferences all the time to hear these kinds of speakers and travel. It costs me a fortune. I have to buy an airline ticket. I have to stay in a hotel. And then I have to pay a large fee to go to the conference where they're speaking. They're coming to us for free. You can come and see. It's like going to a conference, and you come and hear these three speakers for free. That is absolutely amazing. And then there'll be, like I say, a lot of other speakers. There will be booths and tables where you can pick up information about this event. I mean, you're going to be there tonight, Sam, right, with your table.
Absolutely.
So they come and meet you tonight if they haven't already met you, along with those that work with you. Eagle Forum will have a table there, and we'll have lots of information, brochures and other information on critical race theory and the things that go with it, because critical race theory, for instance, includes things like gender identity and promoting and pushing little children transgendering. This isn't just the race colors. It's under the equity policy that controls this critical race theory are all these other things that your children are being taught in the schools, that they may be a different gender and that it's okay. And in fact, the schools or the counselors help them make that change and keep it a secret from their parents. You've got to come and find out about these things. And we have the information on our tables. There will be several booths and tables for you to stop and visit with people, pick up literature, and learn about, you know, how we all can work together and be involved on this. In fact, this critical race theory forum is being sponsored they're hosted by the Utah Republican Latino Coalition, but it's presented by the Utah School Watch Alliance. That is a coalition for this issue and others. Please come and please come to our tables and visit with us and then listen to these marvelous speakers.
And are we going to record this where other people can hear it later if they can't make it?
You know, I wish I could give you that answer. I know they're working on that. I assume that's going to happen. But at this point, we're not sure. So
I sure hope they can.
Yeah.
All right, Mike Gonzalez. Mike Gonzalez and Jonathan Butcher from the Heritage Foundation's top experts. These guys are top experts on CRT or critical race theory as well. They'll be there, right?
That absolutely. They're the ones coming, like you said, from Heritage. It will be an amazing night.
All right, tonight at Thanksgiving Point Barn, ladies and gentlemen. If you can make it, please
right.
do. Gail, thank
Start.
You.
And be there by 6:15.
6:15 p.m. And it's the Thanksgiving Barn, right?
Point, yes. The barn at Thanksgiving Point. Just put that
the
in
barn
your,
at Thanksgiving Point.
GPS.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, be there at 6:15. What is it? The Barnett Thanksgiving Point is what they call it. Anyway, it'll be an incredible event, man. Three incredible speakers. C.L. Bryant will be speaking from the Freedom's Works group. Mike Gonzalez and Jonathan Butcher will both be there from Heritage Foundations. They're top experts in critical race theory discussions. I'll be there. And I'm kind of an expert in critical race reality as well, ladies and gentlemen. It is permeating every aspect of our society, and you don't even know it because it's so pervasive. It's so diabolical and confusing for folks to get their arms around that it's hard to handle. All right, I got an email, and I don't think this gentleman wants his name mentioned on the radio, so I'm not going to mention his name, but it's a shout-out. He'll know who he is, and I want him to know that I'm grateful for the emails that I get. Because they bring up some things that I may not be aware of or may not focus on enough oftentimes. But there's a question, ladies and gentlemen, that I really think is critical that this emailer listener asks me. Should ADE, A-D-E, which stands for antibody dependent enhancement, should ADE or antibody dependent enhancement be stressed more on air? Is the question that was asked. And the answer is absolutely yes. So I'm going to take the ball and run with it to make the point. Credit goes to our listener. All right. But the listener basically emails and says, Alex Jones for some time has been trying to bring the medical issue called antibody dependent enhancement or ADE front and center in the public view. And my response is, wisely so. This effect of natural infection, or VAC, is described like this. And they give a big old link. But from what we've heard about ADE is this. It could possibly be described as a vaccine causing the patient to become hypersensitive to future viral infections, all right? So think about that. So we're talking about antibody-dependent enhancement, and what it's doing to vaccinated people is making them super hypersensitive, okay? So future viral infections, they could be very, very susceptible to because of this, quote, hypersensitivity that we're talking about. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, just the opposite of what a vaccine would be expected to do. This is so important, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because ADE is possibly afflicting a large number of COVID cases, especially those who have been vaccinated or those who have had anticlonal antibodies or whatever they're called. That's why hospitals seem to be getting filled up so quickly. So Alex Jones and others makes the point that many do not test positive for COVID at all. But that would point strongly to the patients having hypersensitivity to the viruses, like colds and flu and other viruses as well, because of the increased antibodies that their bodies are being forced to take on via the vaccines, etc. Anyway, this isn't being discussed enough, the listener says on the other shows, and I'm a frequent Patriot Radio listener. This email sent to me was to ask if maybe this powerful explanation for all the current hospitalizations should be given more airtime and discussion. Does it make sense? Doing that would highlight the negative role played by the vaccines. Amen to that. Well, I think it's absolutely a worthy discussion. And yes, I think ADE or AID, antibody dependent enhancement, should be stressed more on air. The answer is yes, I do. I do think it should be discussed more on the air. And I will make a few points about this that I find very interesting to this narrative. What they're going to do is call us whacked out conspiracy nuts like they always do. So dismiss those people out of hand because they don't have a clue. All right? They don't care about you. All they want to do is make us look foolish at every turn. That's who they are. That's what they do. So ignore them for a minute, okay? Please, ignore them. And think about this. You know, when the first COVID came out, for a year plus, I've heard of a couple of people going to the hospital, and I heard a couple of people dying, but it wasn't very too personal and upfront, if you will. But the second after the first year, the vaccines started rolling out, and maybe 15 months, 16, 17 months in, almost everybody was getting vaxxed. And then all of a sudden, it became very real. COVID rates skyrocketed, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't that you knew somebody that might have got sick or heard of somebody going to the hospital. It was you were in the hospital. Or everybody you know is sick. Whole families were attacked by this, right? So think about that. So think about that for a minute. When the vaccines started becoming front and center and everybody was taking them, then everybody started getting sick. It went from you not knowing anybody really or knowing it kind of distantly or you've heard of it from rare cases to almost everybody, right? Believe it or not, in some cases, antibodies can enhance virus entry and replication in cells. This phenomenon is called antibody-dependent infection or AID. It not only promotes the virus to be recognized by the target cell, but also affects the signal transmission in the target. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious. And there's risks to this antibody-dependent enhancement. And they saw it with animals. And now they're saying that it has nothing to do with humans. Anybody who brings it up is a conspiracy nut. All right, billions of vaccinated people, they say, are at real risk of suffering antibody-dependent infection. This is serious. And so I appreciate the listener for bringing it up because I wasn't really educated on this. And when I got the email, I started to study this thing. And wow, if Alex Jones is pushing this, good for him, he's right. New study finds billions of vaccinated people are at real risk of suffering antibody-dependent enhancement, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't think we can ignore it. For over a year, intensive research has been conducted by health experts, and it's brought to light this increasing concerns about antibody-dependent enhancement. That's a phenomenon where vaccinations make the disease far worse by priming the immune system for a potentially deadly overreaction. Yeah. That's what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. This is just scary stuff, people. Right? It's hard to even know how to deal with this stuff. It's so sinister. So, but we bring it up. And you know what they'll do, right? Right? What they'll do is they'll just say, oh, you guys are nuts on parade. You're crazy. Come on now. Vaccines are good. But why don't we be honest and analyze what's really going on? Right? I mean, in animal experiments, they tested this phenomenon happening. Will it now emerge into billions of people who have been vaccinated around the world? The answer is yes, it will. Is it disaster? Yes, it is. 31.7% of the world's population now has been vaccinated with one or more COVID vaccines. That's as of August 21st, 2021. That's about 2.4 billion people now, and every single one of them has taken an unproven experimental, potentially deadly medical treatment, and possibly the largest experiment to ever be conducted on humanity. Think about that. It's hard to comprehend, isn't it? How many of these people will die from adverse events? Well, I don't know how bad it'll get. I don't know how to respond to this. The primed immune system will simply turn on the host because it'll be overstimulated is the point. To the point of serious, serious illness or death. Wow, folks, this is just crazy. Anyway, that's going on. And I know this show has been very hard-hitting and very, in many ways, worrisome. But I want you to remember God's in charge. Don't get too worried about the enemies of liberty. Do your best to fight them. Live a good, honest, moral life so God can protect you. That's your role. But 31.7% of the world's population, 2.4 million people, have already taken. Wow. An unproven, experimental, potentially deadly vaccine, folks. I don't know really what to say about this except for beware. All right, if you can go to the event tonight, the barn at Thanksgiving Points where it'll be, 6:15, be there. The event's free. There'll be booths and speakers and a good time had by all as we vet this so-called critical race theory lie and as we tell the truth and as we provide guidance and support of how to fight it in your government schools. The best way is to just take your kids flat out of the government schools in the first place. But it's great to know and learn and educate yourself about what's going on, who done it, if you will, and then what we can do about it. That's really the takeaway, is we learn to take action rather than just talk and think and listen and hear and freak out and get concerned. We're learning how to peacefully take action, providing solutions, ladies and gentlemen. That's who we are. That's what we do, because this is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live Solutions Radio broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot going on, 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, bringing to you news the networks refuse to use, telling you that it's about God, family, and country, focusing on solutions and ideas and helping you navigate the news the networks refuse to use, the constant barrage of fake news. We debunk it. True news, telling you the tale. We are truth tellers on the radio. We're hope finders and truth tellers and all the above. Freedom fighters, peacefully restoring the republic, because our leader is the Prince of Peace, even Jesus Christ. Let's make that very clear. No king but King Jesus, that's how they say it sometimes, and amen to that. All right, final 2 hours in the can. Wow, time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Thanks so much for being alongside for the ride, from guest after guest to hard-hitting news headline to breaking it down like nobody's business. That's Liberty Roundtable Live. If you want to help us grow our presence in the media, please financially support us. Donate liberally today. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. After all, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America, but we absolutely need your support. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.